Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on what was the Rapture Ready Radio, which you won't find us there anymore. It's now Christian Sentinel, and that's with an S, Christian Sentinel Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And that's the network of our sister, Jackie Alnor. So you'll find us on that network and the Eternity Ready Radio Network. And we're also on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel under my name, Susan Puzio, and our website, propheticnews.com. And our book, which is sold on Lulu and Amazon, Barnes & Noble, many different booksellers. And that book is Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. So that book is out there. And I'm just going to check here on my... Okay, we're on. So I just wanted to make sure. We were having all kinds of technical things this morning. Praise the Lord, we're here. Anyway, I also want to give a shout out today to my friend Jim Green. He had me on his program last night, Real Talk Radio. He does a Facebook Live. I guess you could find him on Facebook too. He does his program 3 days a week. But anyway, we had a great ministry time together. So I want to thank Jim for the opportunity. And hello, everybody that's in the chat room. And want to give a big hello to all our listeners around the world. All the people that are listening in the UK and how things have changed there. Amen. Things have changed everywhere. We're just living in, it's kind of like the Twilight Zone, right? You can't really believe that when you go out, you have to be so careful that nobody's breathing on you. That's basically the way it is, isn't it? And so I don't care who's in office. I don't care who the king of the country is. Who is going to control a virus? You can't blame any one person for the spread of a virus. It's weird. And I have my own suspicions about how this thing happened. But I know one thing for sure. God is in control. And He knows all about it, and so we just have to live through it. We just have to live through it, but it's not easy. You see people freaking out all over the place. You see, there was a lady they showed last night that she went into a Target or something, and she saw, you know, it's not funny, but she saw a display of masks, and she turned and she flipped over the table and started having a fit. But she said later that she couldn't take it anymore. She just, when she saw the masks, she just flipped out. Well, you can imagine people that don't have the Lord, And they're cooped up in the house 24/7. Some of them, in the beginning, they had to quarantine. They had all the major lockdowns when this thing first started. And so imagine, here's the family. The kids are used to going to school, so the kids are home. The mother and the father now are responsible for educating the children. And the husband and wife are together constantly without a break. They can't go anywhere, so they have to all learn how to get along, right? Well, family life can be difficult to begin with, and even more so when you can't escape. So, anyway, there's been a lot of strange things going on, and it'll probably get stranger. And here we are in Florida, and they're predicting this tropical storm, and that this a tropical storm may be coming here in the next day or so anyway. But one thing I can tell you about living in Florida is they very rarely ever get it right when they say there's going to be a hurricane, and you really don't know what's going to happen until the day, and even on the day, it could be a few hours here and there where you still don't know where the thing is going. Because I remember one year when there was a big storm, it was probably 8 years ago, there was a big hurricane that was supposed to come, and they were telling everybody there was going to be a tsunami in Tampa, which there could be because Tampa's surrounded by water. And anyway, they were going on and on about this thing. And on the day that it was supposed to hit, I think it was about 11 o'clock when the thing finally turned, which they do. These things can turn in any direction. And it turned, and it went up through Orlando, which nobody suspected it was going to do. In fact, people were escaping along the coastlines, and they were going inland to try to get away from the storm. And here they were. The storm decided it was going to go up through the middle of Florida, and it did cause a lot of devastation. I never, myself, I was never in a storm where we had sustained winds. So they, when they talk about sustained winds, unless you've ever lived through it, you don't really understand what it is. But the winds blow, and the winds did blow for about 24 hours straight, about 30, 35 miles per hour without stopping. Oh, it knocked down big trees and power lines. It was bad. And that was only like 30, 35 miles an hour. So if you hear sustained winds and it's higher than that, then it's really bad. And the eerie thing was about the storm was, after the storm was over, we went outside. Of course, all the electricity went out, or sometimes they turn it off to protect people from the downed power lines. And it was so quiet outside. It was really eerie. And along comes a couple of Jeeps. And in the Jeeps were Army people dressed in Army fatigues. And they were kind of patrolling the streets. I never saw that before. That was a little frightening to think of how fast, really, if they want to, how fast they could declare martial law and tell you to stay in your houses, don't come out, and they can really control a city or a state. We saw how fast, when this coronavirus hit, we saw how fast things shut down. And how we didn't really have control over our lives the way we usually did. So we just have to be ready for anything, and we have to be strong in the Lord. Most of all, we have to really depend on God in the days ahead. We just don't know what is coming next. We really don't. The world is in such an upheaval, especially here in this country where things are changing. The ideas, people's ideas are changing. And they had a saying in Nazi Germany back when Hitler was in power, and I think they had a propaganda machine. I never thought I was going to hear propaganda the way I hear it here in this country on the news media. I never thought I was really going to witness it. You hear about it in the Soviet Union, and you heard about it, especially in Hitler. If you ever watch some of these documentaries, he was a scary character, no doubt, but he had a whole propaganda network, and they made films, and they held these big open air crusades, and everybody was saluting Heil, and Heil means hail in German, which what they were saying is hail Hitler, which they worshipped him like a god. And so they said that if you tell people a lie long enough, eventually they'll believe it. And that's what's happening is people would rather believe the lie than to believe the truth. But to parallel that, the same thing is happening in the church. If you tell people a lie long enough, eventually they'll believe it. And so we have so many false prophets and so many false teachers in the church today. And when you try to point it out to people, some people accuse you of not having any love. Well, let me tell you something. Wolves bite. And this wolf, Perry Stone, that we're going to talk about today, and the main way that he built his ministry, and I put it in quotes because he basically built a little kingdom to himself. I lived in Cleveland, Tennessee for a while back in the 1990s. It must have been the early 1990s. I lived there for about a year. And of course, in Cleveland, Tennessee, you have Lee University, which is the Church of God University. And you have four, at that time, I don't know how it is now, but at that time they had four different branches of the Church of God. They all broke off, I guess, from the main branch. And Cleveland, Tennessee was a town full of churches. There were churches all over the place. And Perry Stone had his ministry headquarters there. It wasn't very big back then when I was there, but of course it is now. He built a $22 million facility, and he built it debt-free. Well, in those Word of Faith circles that he travels in, they might look at him with admiration that he built this $22 million facility debt-free. Well, how did he do it? He did it by fleecing people and by lying to God's people. And so when we were posting, Jackie Almore had told me about this story about Perry Stone being caught in immorality, and we posted it on Facebook, and then some people were saying, well, you have to have mercy on him and forgive him. I don't have any mercy for wolves. I don't feel mercy for them because they're their own worst enemies. They have a Bible. These are people that he's a pastor. He has a training institute there for young people yet. And then he can't control himself. No, I don't have any compassion for Perry Stone because he knows better than that. But what happens, it's inevitable that these kind of things will happen to these people, because when the main area that we can judge people about is their financial integrity. Do they have financial integrity? How do they do their fundraising? I'm not opposed to people doing fundraising. If that's how you want to do it. You can take up offerings and raise offerings. We don't take up offerings here. We leave it to the Lord to, if he wants to speak to people, he's perfectly capable of doing that. So that's how we operate. We don't ask, and we don't send out appeal letters. We don't send out appeal emails. We don't do any of that. So I believe if God wants you in the ministry, he's going to pay for it, and he will take care of it, whether you pay for it out of your own pocket or you have people that help you. So Perry Stone builds his ministry by fleecing people. For many years, he appeared on telethons with the notorious David Cirillo, one of the worst con men, religious con men going. And he did the TBN telethons back in the day when Jan and Paul Crouch were there. They don't do that. I don't think they do these telethons anymore since they died. But they're rich enough that they don't have to, because TBN owned many low-power television stations around the country, and the government wanted to buy these stations for the cell phone companies to be able to set up their cell phone towers. So I think TBN, it was reported that they made somewhere around $1 billion by selling off some of their networks and their towers. So they don't really need to do any fundraising, you know, because not only that they made this money off of their cell phone, their low power stations, which a lot of the television ministries did the same. So the property that they own around the country, they own multiple hundreds of millions of dollars, I would say, of properties, because they had stations all over the place, in Atlanta, in Dallas, in Tennessee, that they built and they hardly ever used. They even had a studio in New York City, an old Broadway theater, I think they bought, which was quite a beautiful place. I don't watch TBN that much anymore, so I don't even know if they still use it. Or I know at one time they were trying to sell their property in Nashville, but they still have it. I think Mike Huckabee was doing a show there. They put him on the network. And then I know that they sold their headquarters in Santa Ana. I think it's in Santa Ana. That one, the big TBN headquarters they had there, they did sell that one. So they've got plenty of money, and they don't really need to take up offerings, as most of the television stations sell airtime. So they basically make enough money off of that, but they still tell you that they have to have money. But they use the money then to buy more real estate, and they get richer that way. They don't tell you that, though. They tell you, we have to preach the gospel. But there's not much preaching of the gospel that goes on a lot of these networks. It's mainly fundraising, which is what David Cirillo does. Almost any time you ever see one of his programs on, they usually are on late at night, and you can flip through the channels and you'll see David Cirillo is everywhere, and Mike Murdoch, this past week, we saw a post that he has a brain tumor. So they were asking people to pray for him because he was going in for surgery, and supposedly Kenneth Copeland flew him to Houston on his private jet so that Mike could get this brain surgery. The thing is, Mike Murdoch would tell people to sow $58 if they needed a healing or if they needed something from God, but the $58 blessing didn't do him any good, did it? Didn't do him any good, because now he's suffering with the brain tumor, and he can't, I don't know if he's going to figure it out before he before he dies, if he's going to figure out that he couldn't buy his miracle, like he likes to tell you that you could do, will he repent before he dies? Who knows? I don't know if he's going to make it through this or not. It depends on what kind of a brain tumor it is, because some are deadlier than others, but it's nothing minor when you have a brain tumor, not at all. And of course, it can be very painful as they grow. But usually when people are faced with this kind of crisis in their life, you would hope that they would ask the Lord to forgive them. And who knows, really? Who knows? Some don't. Some people will be on their deathbed taking their last breath and they won't repent of the damage that people, that they have done to the body of Christ and to the cause of Christ. Because I know we Christians are about forgiveness. We like to forgive people. And I would quickly forgive a minister of the gospel that missed the mark. And if he was truly sorry, and if he was really trying to do his best to preach the gospel, and somehow he got messed up somewhere, it's a little bit different with these people that call themselves Christians, and they call themselves ministers of the gospel, and they build their wealth by lying to people about Jesus. And they're not really brethren. They're false brethren. They're false brethren. Because a real brother and sister in the Lord doesn't scam people. We don't have pyramid schemes. We don't have Ponzi schemes. We don't take people's money and promise them healing and salvation and all the and financial breakthroughs and all that, those kind of things. That's just not the gospel. So the way I like to do things and the way I think, and I think it's probably the way you would want most Christians to think, is that when you see somebody doing these things, when you see these people that call themselves ministers of the gospel and they call themselves brothers and sisters, and they build their whole ministry around conning you, we have to reject them. Like the Bible says in Titus, and it's in the King James Version. I don't know if you can even find the word heretic in a lot of the newer translations, but and they spell it H-E-R-E-T-I-C-K in the King James. But the Bible says a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. So reject it. Why do people want to hang on to it? And you just reject them and they'll go away. But the fact that people ask, well, why can't you have mercy? And I have mercy on the brothers and sisters in Christ that are getting lied to and fleeced by people that should know better. Because when you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is supposed to convict you of sin. So, you know how that goes, right? Like when you mess up, don't you feel guilty and then you're convicted? So if they're not even being convicted of their scamming and their conning, why am I supposed to have mercy? I don't. I really don't. I pray that they'll repent. Yeah, I would love to see them repent. And they can reach a wider audience than I can reach, definitely. So wouldn't it be great if they would repent and then tell people that you don't have to send me your money to get something from God. God will give it to you freely for the asking. Wouldn't that be nice if they would say it? And that most of this carnival atmosphere would stop? Yeah. So why do people want to hang on to these teachers? And I don't want to hear anything they have to say. The only reason I listen to them is to report on the stories. And it's painful sometimes for me to have to listen to these people. Like when I'm listening to Paula White, I'll listen to her and I'll pull things out of her sermons or her statements that I can tell people about. But I really don't listen to her. I don't take it in because her teaching is, most of her teachings are so bizarre. And I don't want that stuff in my head. So I thank God that the Lord has given me that ability that I can listen to it. And then I'm not, it's not affecting me. I'm not going to believe it. But some people, they'll listen to it and listen, and they hook you in with their lying vanities. And so people get hooked. And then if they listen for 5 or 10 minutes, they're running to the phone with their credit card. And that's what they really, that's what they hope for, is that you will, because they say, now you run to your phone now. And that's what Perry Stone was doing when he was doing these telethons. He was telling people, run to your phone. And like somehow God was on the other end. If you didn't make that phone call within the next 10 minutes, somehow God, who's everywhere and sees everything, but they tell you that somehow if you miss your moment, he's going to fly by you. And when you make your request made known to God, he won't be there because you didn't get your pledge in within the 15 minutes that they asked. So I have absolutely no respect for Perry Stone at all. I don't respect his work. I don't want to hear anything he has to say as far as listening to him to get any kind of Bible knowledge from a man that has no integrity at all. And I wasn't surprised when I heard this news, because this is how most of these guys wind up. They become so full of themselves, so puffed up with pride and their achievements and their popularity, that they start looking at the women in the church. If you can't be safe in church around your pastor, that's pretty bad. If you can't be safe around the leader of your Bible school or your youth ministry, that's pretty bad, isn't it? And then he has the nerve to say that, oh, my wife is my rib. He wasn't thinking about his wife when he was lusting after the women in his organization, was he? And somebody, too, posted his apology and said, well, he's repented. The only reason he apologized and repented is because he got caught. He wasn't doing it on his own. He didn't go to the elders of his church or to his wife and say, I'm in trouble. I'm having a lust problem. No, he got caught. He got caught. So those kind of apologies don't mean that much to me anyway, because are they really sorry, or is it the fact that they might lose their little kingdom? Because he lives in a big, huge mansion. Big, huge mansion. So the perks are pretty good. Anyway, here's the story. It's from the Cleveland Banner. This is the local newspaper there in Cleveland, Tennessee. The day before Voice of Evangelism's board of directors announced that evangelist Perry Stone had stepped aside from the pulpit and his travel ministry, he posted a video on the ministry social media that appeared to be a warning of an attack that was coming. And he did. He did. He now posts, if you go to his Facebook page, he posts this video of an attack that was coming to him. He saw a snake. I say he saw a snake, and the snake was him. And so I think this is not over. I think there'll probably be more accusations as people come forward, because sometimes people don't say anything because they're afraid. But now that the cat is out of the bag, so to speak, there might be other people that come forward, because I'm sure this has probably been going on for a while. These men have tremendous egos, and so, but now he's saying that there's an attack coming to his ministry like never before. Yeah, and who's responsible for it? Him. But he wants you to believe that it's the devil. The devil made him do it. The next day, Stone stepped away from his duties at the ministry he founded in 1979. His ministry attracts millions of followers from all over the world who watch his sermons online and purchase his books, with titles such as Unleashing the Beast, Exposing Satan's Playbook, yeah, he should have read that one, and Deciphering End Time Prophetic Codes. In a statement released Thursday to the Cleveland Daily Banner, VOE's media relations spokesperson John Rodriguez said Stone had stepped away from his duties after he deviated from the biblical standards set in place for VOE leadership. Additionally, Rodriguez said Stone had been on a sabbatical due to serious health reasons. Yes. He was probably having headaches thinking about, well, I got caught now, so how am I going to get out of this one? In April of 2020, the Voice of Evangelists Board of Directors took proactive measures to place Evangelist Perry Stone on sabbatical for rest and restoration. The statement said the decision was made for two reasons. Well, they talk about his health issues. Yeah, well, okay. Secondly, Rodriguez said a couple of employees at VOE requested to meet with the board of directors to address concerns of inappropriate words and actions. Upon review, the board determined that the issues were civil in nature and not criminal. Well, we'll see. But that the behavior deviated from the biblical standards set in place for VOC leadership, he said. So the board unanimously initiated his current sabbatical. This action was not reactionary, but with much prayer, and was set in place to uphold the highest standards of integrity and transparency, which they don't have anyway. They don't have any integrity at that ministry. They wouldn't be scamming people. Stone stepped aside from all pulpit and travel ministry for an extended period of time at the direction of the board. Rodriguez said Stone has sincerely repented for any words or actions said or done that made anyone feel uncomfortable or brought them hurt in any manner. Stone asked for forgiveness for his actions, which were not made clear in the board's statement. Well, they didn't make it clear, but somebody else is going to make it clear. I guarantee you that, especially when it has to do with lawsuits, which I'm sure the lawsuits are going to start coming. Rodriguez closed the statement by specifying the board has worked with Perry to set in place strong boundaries. Yeah, God couldn't do it, right? He wasn't submitting himself to God. No, his board has to set the boundaries. His board is going to place strong boundaries of accountability surrounding his future ministry. Yeah. You're going to watch him 24/7, right? Yeah, sure. Speaking, and who is watching him? I thought he's supposed to have a covering. So, you see, here's another. He had all these people surrounding him, all these coverings. Did he behave himself? No. If you can't behave yourself, in front of Jesus, then what's a covering going to do for you? Nothing. That's a stupid teaching. Jesus is your covering. If you can't behave, if a pastor and a ministry leader can't behave himself in front of the Lord, then he better hang it up. Forget his board. Anyway, they're going to surround his future ministry, speaking, and travel schedules. They continue to evaluate the progress of his spiritual and physical health to determine future plans. He's not going away because he's back on Facebook over there with his visions. He's always got these dreams that he's telling you about, these interpretations, and he's trying to interpret his dreams when he sees snakes and he sees demons and he sees black clouds and whatever. And of course, he hears audible voices too. The Lord talks to him audibly. Yeah, the Lord talks to you audibly, and you're going messing around. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised he didn't say, "You better cut it out there, Perry." I wouldn't want to hear that audible voice. Let me hear that one. They're gonna determine his future plans. Yeah, well, he's not going away. He's back over there on Facebook. On Monday, Stone posted a message on his ministry social media page stating that he had been undergoing physical, spiritual, and emotional battles. So, yeah, I guess you're going. What happens is they have their Nebuchadnezzar moment. It's just like King Nebuchadnezzar. He wouldn't obey God either. So he wound up like an animal on all fours with long, scraggly hair and long fingernails. He lost his mind. And that's what happens to these guys, is they do so much scamming and lying that eventually they crack up. So I don't doubt that he's having emotional battles. If you would repent and get your life in order, you wouldn't have all these emotional battles. As you know, I have been absent for the past several months from social media. The Lord has helped me through many battles physically, spiritually, and emotionally, as I have spent much time alone with Him and with my family, omitting all ministry forms to focus on a personal restoration and an extended sabbatical at this season. Yeah, well, you need a longer sabbatical than you're taking. You need to go away for a long time and come back and repent of everything, not just this. As my accountability team, he has to have an accountability team now to follow him around to make sure he behaves himself, allows me to begin returning to some forms of social media slowly. I will be presenting a few prophetic updates. Don't bother. And things the Lord has put in my spirit during the past 3 months, beginning in August. 2 days later, Stone posted a video where he described an apocalyptic, there you go, dream involving a serpent that stalked him. There's a serpent stalking him. See, that's what it is. Interpreting the vision as an attack that was coming. He's already getting people prepared for the next round of this thing. Yeah. Stone also discussed several rumors that have been circulating within the community. We're going to come to a time where spirit-filled people are going to be spewing junk out of their mouth, he said. They're going to be spewing trash out of their mouth. They're going to be stirring up offenses and hurts and just keeping things stirred by the words in their mouth. He said he did not know where the rumors originated. However, he labeled them as total lies. We don't know where they originated, he said, but they were total lies, adding that the rumors suggested he had cancer or brain tumor. Well, I don't think that that's probably the extent of the rumors. I see what the enemy is doing, he said. Yeah, you're your own worst enemy. In addition, Stone described himself as not a perfect person. Yeah, well, we know that. None of us are. We all know that. Okay. And I've never claimed to be, he said, but I have done my best to keep my heart right before God. No, you haven't. I have done my best to keep a repentant spirit if I needed repentance. He also addressed an alleged comment from a local individual that was relayed to him. They tell me that some guy in town made a statement, and they didn't tell me who he was, but he said, I will not be happy until Perry Stone can't ever preach again. Yeah, well, we all would be happy about that. If he would start preaching the truth, then we would be happy. But we would all be happy that if he didn't preach again, and we didn't have to hear you lying about Jesus, that, yeah. Immediately after the Cleveland Daily Banner posted news coverage of the VOE board statements on its Facebook page Thursday afternoon, commenters expressed their opinion of Stone's plight. Perry Stone is just a big charlatan, one commenter wrote. I'm so glad this man, this human who has done nothing but travel, study, and preach the word for longer than I've been alive, has had time to step aside and has the ability to rest and regroup. Yeah. He's fallible just like the rest of us, wrote another. Yeah, he is, yeah. No doubt. Late Thursday night, Stone's wife, Pamela Taylor Stone, published a message on her social media page that defended her husband while exorcising those who were calling for justice. With the message, and here's another thing, a good wife, because a wife is supposed to be a helper, a good wife would tell her husband, now, honey, you know that gospel you're preaching about give God money and God will do things for you? Honey, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. And we should not be taking in money like that, honey. But no, she doesn't say anything. No. She accepts what he's doing. She accepts the mansions and the millions of dollars. And now she has to defend her husband. And she has to try to cover for him. With the message, she included a link to the Thursday news story posted to the Cleveland Daily Banner website and Facebook page. For all of you Christians who have been crying out for justice, she said, I thought I would share this and ask you, is this enough justice for you? No, it's not. Oh, now she's mad. It's of your own making there, Pam. It's of your own making. My guess is probably not. I think the only justice that will make you happy is Perry's blood on the sidewalk from people throwing stones, and he is 5 feet in the ground. Whoa, she's mad. No, we don't want him to die. I don't think any Christian wants him dead. I don't know where that's coming from, your head. But repent, yeah. Repent of everything, not just this, because he got caught. Repent of lying to God's people and lying about Jesus. Yeah, that. She targeted her anger at her husband's critics. Let me remind you all, perfect Christians, when you pick up the stone to throw, make sure it's big enough to do damage with your first throw, and definitely make sure you don't get a rubber one that could possibly bounce off something and come back at you. Oh, that's a nice thing to say, right? Oh, we should get hit in the face with a stone? Oh, that was a lovely comment. I'm standing for truth, mercy, and grace, and I'm standing with my husband. If anyone wants to know, Stone has gained attention for his sometimes controversial statements. He claimed the coronavirus was God's retribution for the legalization of gay marriage and abortion. He has also insisted that he prophesied the novel coronavirus 15 years ago. Yeah, he prophesied it 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why he was telling everybody right before it came that it was coming. Oh, yeah, right? No, he didn't. Earlier this week, he warned of a program which he referred to as ID 2020, in which everyone would be forced to receive a new unique clear tattoo that can be scanned. Well, of course, we know the Mark of the Beast is coming, so that's nothing new. But anyway, that's the story. And you can find that story if you search his name. The story comes up about Perry Stone. So it's there. But anyway, we'll see what happens in the days ahead. But like I said, once these things come out and people aren't afraid to talk, there'll be more revelations, I'm sure. And we do hope and pray that he repents and he gets his life right with God. The most important thing is to have your life right with the Lord and to have a ministry of integrity to the body of Christ and to the world. The world's watching. The world watches us. And if we don't try to straighten out the mess that's in the camp, that's what brothers and sisters are for. Say, well, you're not always 100% right. Here, you're missing it in this area. And when it has to do with public ministry, that's a whole different area than your own personal sins. We have to have, in public ministry, it's very, very important when you're holding a Bible in your hand and you're telling people about the Lord Jesus is that you do it honestly and with integrity and with compassion for the people that you're ministering to. That is very, very important. And the Bible is very clear about these things. This is some scriptures that people pass up when they're telling you about, well, he's repented, so you just, you know, you have to forgive him. But he hasn't repented of everything that he's been doing over the years. No, he only repented of this, like I said, because he got caught. But Proverbs 6:19 says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. And let's look at a couple other scriptures. Galatians 2:4 says, and that because of false brethren, unaware is brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us again into bondage. And that's basically what these people do, is we have liberty in Jesus Christ. We have liberty, especially in our giving, to decide where we're going to give and who we're going to give it to. But they want to bring you back into bondage by telling you that you have to give this amount, this 10%, and you have to sow these seeds. Otherwise, God's not going to do anything for you. Well, that's bondage, because Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. He didn't say anything about, you better give me 10%, and you better sow some seeds over here, and you better sow some Passover offerings. Otherwise, I'm turning my back on you. But anyway, that's what Jesus they portray. Mark 13:22 says, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. 2 Corinthians 11:26, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Matthew 26:60, but found none ye, though many false witnesses came, we yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. Psalm 119:104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And that's the way we should be. We should hate every false way. Let me see if there's... Yeah. It says the same thing basically in Psalm 119:128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So there's a lot of scriptures. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. I mean, eventually, it's like the Bible says, your sin will find you out. And if you don't repent in secret, then God exposes you openly. The Lord is very merciful. He gives these people plenty of time to repent before he exposes them. And that's how it goes. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Proverbs 12:17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Proverbs 25:14, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. And that's what a lot of these guys do. They basically boast about themselves, and it catches up with them sooner or later. But let's listen to a few audios here. Here's an audio of Perry Stone. He's supposed to be praying in tongues, and he's very incoherent in this audio. This is a strange audio.
Came over here to my, I call it my man cave, and the Lord spoke to me somewhere between about 5 to 8 audibly. I heard it audibly. And I had been praying about, give me something to tell people. Give me something of what this is about. And I have probably the most significant word the Lord ever gave me since right after 9/11. I'm being serious. So this, what I need everybody on the internet to do, I need you to do this. I need you to start calling friends, take a cell phone out, and tell them to go online. And I'm not hyping this. I don't need an internet audience. I've already got one. I don't need you to just do this to do it. You got to hear something. Blood of the Lamb God, I pray, I pray, I pray, I pray, healing, healing, healing. I pray, I pray, I pray, deliverance, 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 deliverance. Yes, Lord, 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 yes, Lord. Karamo sharadanda rabasha karabamanda ridiyasa. Yes, Lord, have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, touch this right now. Touch this situation. Touch this situation by the power of God. Touch this situation by the power of the Holy Ghost. By the anointing, by the anointing, by the anointing, by the anointing.
I don't know what that was. That was a little strange, you know? A little strange. But you notice in the first audio, he said that God spoke to him in an audible voice. And that was right around the time that was in April. That was right around the time his board was going to be sending him on a sabbatical. Anyway, this is another strange audio between him and his father. His father has passed away since then, but his father was in the ministry too. And his father claims that he had this vision of his dead friend. He saw his dead friend, and he's talking to him. Of course, we know we're not supposed to talk to the dead, number one. But anyway, Perry doesn't bat an eye when his father is telling him about this.
You actually, when that hand touched you, you collapsed and thought you had a heart attack and came out of your body.
Yeah.
Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 12, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And so there are experiences where it's either a vision, is that right?
Yeah.
And Al stepped out of that and pointed his finger at you, right?
It was moving, Perry. It was so far in the universe I couldn't estimate how far it was. And it was moving with the speed of like a lightning bolt. It was coming toward me so fast. But when it got to from the size of my fist to the size of a person, but it was a ball of fire.
Mm.
A ball of light would be better, light and fire.
Mm-hmm.
And when it got so far from me, it just stopped moving, and the light just vanished, and there stood Al Collins.
And this is the friend that had passed away. You're out in the universe somewhere.
Yeah.
Though. I mean, way out on the edge of eternity.
Education, when he put his right hand out toward me, God let him speak to me.
And he said what?
Let him speak. That's when he said, and he didn't waste any time, Perry.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I wanted to ask him questions, what it was like, Al, what was it like to die?
Mm-hmm.
What was this and that? That's what was on my mind.
Right. Where you went, you saw into heaven. And you saw books in heaven, and they actually had photographs in them, or what looked like photographs of the ministry of Jesus.
Yeah, they were.
Do you remember that?
The title.
Yeah, he was talking to his dead friend. His dead friend appeared to him. Well, I don't think so. I can't understand how any Bible teacher, legitimate Bible teacher, would buy that story. Number one, would say, first of all, Dad, you're not supposed to be talking to dead people. And but he makes no correction. No, he's buying it. He's buying it. Let's see if we can. I don't know how this audio is going to sound. I might not. This is an older one, but let's see what he says here.
We're going to begin to see the supernatural in the way of increase and the way of financial strength coming in.
Right.
Brother Jesse, I just had to obey
God about that.
God bless you, sir.
And I'm going to tell you why a lot of people don't have that kind of anointing, because they're afraid.
Joy to have you with me today on Manifest, but it's even a greater joy to have for a second program my father, Fred Stone. Now, this is an 8-week series that we have been running, in which we've been talking about the supernatural things of God, especially angels, angelic protection, and this type of subject matter. Dad, it's good to have you with me again today. I want you to know that. And folks really, really love when you're on the program. In fact, they've said we'd rather hear your dad than you. Amen. Hey, I would rather hear you than me a lot of times too, to tell you the truth, because you've got just wisdom that has come with your how many years have you been in ministry now?
This will be 59 years.
59 years. Okay, now you know you're going to gain wisdom. Now what happened when you were called to preach? Now I want to go to
that. That's when I was there at this little cabin, Barry, that I had, me and my dad had built. Dad had helped me in West Virginia, up in a lease area for Iron Creek Coal Company. And I was up there praying and seeking the face of God. And Al Collins, while I was praying, I heard footsteps. It was in the fall, and there was leaves about 4, 5, 6 inches high. And I heard 2 or 3 steps behind the cabin. I'm sitting just like I am now. And I turned and looked around and bent my head like this. And before I could see anybody, a hand reached through, the right hand of a man, reached through the side of the cabin and touched me on the head. I thought it was an angel of the Lord. But actually, the spirit man of Al Collins had touched me, you know what I mean, and spoke to me about what God wanted me to know, and that the Lord wanted me to know this and that and the other. And, of course, I was so overcome by the Spirit that it probably took me an hour after this experience for it to just kind of wear off. You know, Perry, supernatural experiences with God usually stay with people forever. They stay with you all your life. Now, they're not as fresh and they're not as great upon your spirit man as they were for the first 2 or 3 years or something, but they'll be there forever.
I remember when you told, I mean, I've heard you tell that for actually for years about how that you actually, when that hand touched you, you collapsed and thought you had a heart attack and came out of your body.
Yeah.
Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 12, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And so there are experiences where it's either a vision or it actually is happening. And you went out like being sucked out into the universe somewhere where you ended up, where it was a beautiful sapphire, beautiful sapphire blue. And you described what happened there. You said that you saw a ball of light that looked like the size of a silver dollar.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And Al stepped out of that and pointed his finger at you, right?
It was moving, Perry. It was so far in the universe I couldn't estimate how far it was. And it was moving with the speed of a, it was like a lightning bolt. It was coming toward me so fast. But when it got to from the size of my fist to the size of a person, but it was a ball of fire, a ball of light would be better, light and fire. And when it got so far from me, it just stopped moving, and the light just vanished, and there stood Al Collins.
And this is the friend that had passed away. You're out in the universe somewhere.
Yeah.
Though. I mean, way out on the edge of eternity.
And when he spoke his the communication, when he put his right hand out toward me, God let him speak to me.
And he said what?
Let him speak. That's when he said, and he didn't waste any time, Barry. See, I wanted to ask him questions, what it was like. Al, what was it like to die? What was this and that? That's what was on my mind.
Right, right.
Because we were such good friends.
Right.
But I wasn't permitted to do that. He looked at me and he put his hand out and he said, Fred.
Praise God.
God has sent me. God has sent me to tell you. Excuse me, Barry.
It's all right.
God has sent me to tell you. That you're called to preach.
Jesus.
That he's called you to preach.
Jesus.
And you must preach. You must go and you must preach and you must obey me. And when he said that, the power of God came on me, Perry, and I couldn't answer him. I couldn't do nothing but just tremble. I just shook under the power of God.
And you can't, but you came back to yourself in that cabin.
And, you know, he left one time. He started to leave. And then something stopped him and told him he wasn't finished. And he turned around and said it the second time. Said the same thing.
Wow.
And that let me know. It was Al Collins. There's no spirit.
Yeah.
It was the soul of Al Collins.
Now, you had an experience, too, where... you saw into heaven, and you saw books in heaven, and that.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. No. That's called necromancy, where his dead friend appears to him, and Jesus lets him talk, and his dead friend tells him that he's called into the ministry. No, I don't think so. No. No, but notice, I mean, Perry, he just goes right along with it. Well, tell me more, Dad. Tell me more. And this is supposed to be a legitimate pastor and a legitimate Bible teacher, a legitimate Bible school, head of a Bible school ministry to young people. No. No, they have some serious issues over there. They definitely have some serious issues. But I'm sure as there's more to the story, as more news comes out, we'll be posting it and talking about it, because I'm sure he must know that there's something else out there. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been putting out that statement about the next attack that's coming and the snake that's out there. Anyway, we'll see, won't we? We'll see. But I want to also talk. A friend of mine, James Sundquist, he sent me this article, and you can find it at the BereanBeacon.org. BereanBeacon.org. The Muslim Jesus versus the Biblical Jesus. And it was brought to my attention because one of the presidential candidates, Joe Biden, has said that he wants to have Islam taught in the public schools. Now, come on. That's frightening in itself. But he has compiled this long list of the comparisons, and I'll read a couple of these to you. Islamic Jesus was created and not eternal. The similitude of Jesus before Allah is that of Adam. He created him from dust, then said to him, "Be," and he was. And that's in the Quran, Surah 359. But, of course, we know that the biblical Jesus is eternal. The Islamic Jesus is a created human. He created him, Jesus, from dust and said to him, "Be." Quran, Surah 359, versus biblical Jesus is the creator of everything that is. Amen. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1:3. Amen to that. Islamic Jesus is not the Lamb of God who was slain, that they said in boast, "We killed Christ Jesus, the Son of Mary, the messenger of Allah." But they killed him not, nor crucified him. But so it was made to appear to them, and those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture. And to follow for of surety, they killed him not. Quran, Surah 4:157, verses, the biblical Jesus is the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. John 1:29. The Islamic Jesus will not return until judgment day. And Jesus shall be a sign for the coming of the hour of judgment. Therefore, have no doubt about the hour, but follow me. This is a straight way. Quran, Surah 43:61, verses, the biblical Jesus appeared to the apostle Paul, Saul, after Christ's ascension, Saul's conversion. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Islamic Jesus prophesied, but did not send the coming of Muhammad. Islamic Jesus did not send the Holy Spirit. And remember, when Isa, Jesus, they call him, I guess, E-E-S-A, son of Maryam, Mary, said, "O children of Israel, I am the messenger of Allah unto you, confirming the Torah, which came before me, and giving glad tidings of a messenger to come after me, whose name shall be Ahmad. But when he, Ahmad, Muhammad, came to them with clear proofs, they said, "This is plain magic." Oh, dear. Versus the biblical Jesus, who sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And the biblical Jesus, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for I go not away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." Islam says salvation is found only in the five pillars of Islam. Those who believe and suffer, exile, and strive, jihadu, with might and main in Allah's cause, with their goods and their persons, have the highest rank in the sight of Allah. They are the people who will achieve salvation. Surah 9:20. Salvation can only be found in the five pillars of Shahada, testifying of God's oneness, Salat, prayer, fasting, and charity. That's how they say you can find salvation. Well, we know that's not true, because you're not saved by your works. Those who believe and emigrate and strive with might and main in Allah's cause, with their goods and their persons, have the highest rank. And that's what a lot of these people are doing. They're coming here and they're trying to take over with their beliefs. And that would be a pretty good way to take over, when they are going to allow these things to be taught in public schools. Islamic Jesus, who is an involuntary slave to Allah, in that a slave is not free. I will then say that the pious slave Jesus, the son of Mary, said, hadith narrated by Ibn Abbas, Jesus, although he is just one of Allah's slaves, hadith, in the hadith narrated, you better go to Jesus, Allah's slave, in the hadith, book 93. Oh, dear. Biblical Jesus made himself a voluntary servant. Amen. Amen. Biblical Jesus made himself a voluntary servant, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's Philippians 2:6-8. That's a great scripture, because some people like to say that Jesus was just a man, but when he walked the earth, but he wasn't. If he was just a man, then he could have sinned, because he wasn't just a man. He never laid down his divinity. He was God in the flesh. He was made in the likeness of men, the gospel says, and he was found in fashion as a man, which means he looked like a man, but he was never 100% man. Because 100% man can sin. So he never laid down his divinity. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, not slaves. Amen. We don't trade our slavery to sin for slavery to God. Yes, amen. Amen. I will read this one last one. The Islamic Jesus was never crucified and therefore was not resurrected. And because of their saying and boast, we killed Messiah Isa, son of Maryam, the messenger of Allah. But they killed him not, nor crucified him, but it appeared so to them. The resemblance of Isa Jesus was put over another man, and they killed that man, and those who differ therein are full of doubts. They have no certain knowledge. They follow nothing but conjecture. For surely they killed him not, Isa, Jesus, son of Mary and Mary. But Allah raised him, Isa, Jesus, up with his body and soul unto himself. And he is in the heavens, and Allah is ever all-powerful and wise. Oh, boy. versus biblical Jesus, who by his death and resurrection saved his people from their sins. Amen. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. Amen. Yes, we've all been raised from the dead in a sense when we were born again. And for some of you who are out there and listening today and you've never been born again, maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior, but Jesus could give you a brand new life. And that's the truth. That happened to me. One day I was in darkness, and then I was in, all of a sudden, the scales were lifted from my eyes and I could see, and my search was over. I didn't have to go searching anymore. I didn't have to go to India. I didn't have to go to Pakistan. I didn't have to go here to this shrine or that shrine to try to find Jesus, because I found him. My search was over. I didn't have to go and try to find myself anymore. And that was 40 years ago in February. It will be 40 years that I met the Lord Jesus, and he saved my life. He crowned me with love and tender mercies. He redeemed me from the curse of the law. He gave me peace. He gave me joy. And it's the only way, really, you can get through these tough times is to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him help you get through. I don't know how people can get through what we're going through right now without having a personal relationship with Jesus. And the Bible says in Romans 10:10 that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So if you confess your sins, faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, no matter what your sins are, he will forgive you and he will forget about it. And you will be washed as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, you can be as white as snow. And whatever you did in your past, God forgives you. And he puts it under the blood. And when Jesus shed his blood for you, he made the supreme sacrifice to give you eternal life. And for you to know that when you leave this life, you can have a home in heaven. This is not the final stop. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord, with the Lord. So I just encourage you today, all my listeners, that if you don't know the Lord, give your heart to Jesus today. Give your life to Jesus. Ask him to help you. Ask him to forgive you. You'll never regret it. No, you'll never regret it. Even don't look at what Christians do and say, well, look at what this Christian did. God's not going to ask you about what they did. He's going to ask you about your life in the end. He's not going to ask you about Jim Baker or Jimmy Swaggart or the Pope. He's not going to ask you about me. He's going to ask you about you and what did you do with the truth and the knowledge that you had. So I just encourage you to repent and turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll help you. He really will. So that's our program for today. And again, thank you everybody in the chat room for stopping by and everybody that's listening around the world. Don't forget we're on the new network also on Blog Talk Radio, which is Christian Sentinel Radio, and on Eternity Ready Radio. So, and of course, here at Prophetic News on Blog Talk Radio. And we're thankful for this opportunity to preach the gospel to you today. And God bless you all. Okay? Bye bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.